IVM.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the Edges and Sledges Cricket Podcast brought to you by SEAD. I'm your host this week, Ashwin. I'm joined by Varun for the, I want to say first two-thirds of this show, because for the last third, we have a very special segment that DJ is going to bring to you. But it's going to be a little bit of a different format where instead of kind of taking one break at the halfway point, we're going to split this show up into three segments this week and try something a little bit different. So bear with us. But Varun, pretty exciting week. I mean, a little bit disappointing from a cricket standpoint, but let's start with most of our listeners are, let's call them India sports fans in general. And it's been pretty exciting at the Olympics. Lots of moving pieces, but PV Sindhu picked up a bronze. The men's hockey team has now qualified for the semifinal, one win away from a guaranteed medal after 40 plus years. So pretty exciting in the world of sport before we get into cricket.
Yeah, very exciting. And in fact, for India, things kind of just turned around within a 2-hour window, right? Because leading up to the Sunday evening, we had some pretty disappointing results where a lot of people were dropping out and they were doing well, but they just weren't qualifying for that final three position. And suddenly you've got one medal and you've got another potentially on the way. I'm going to say I hope India doesn't go for bronze. They go for gold or silver. Like, I feel like it's a fantastic opportunity. But yeah, really proud of the guys.
Yeah, absolutely outstanding. I woke up early Sunday morning my time. So time zone math is confusing. But absolutely brilliant to see them win 3-1 against the Great Britain team. And especially like winning 2-1 going into those last few minutes, but scoring that great goal to consolidate that lead. But we're not here to talk about hockey. We're here to talk about cricket. And it's strange. The mind just moves so fast, right? As soon as the Sri Lanka series, the last ball of the India-Sri Lanka series bowled, my mind has been ready for India-England, ready for Test cricket, etc. But we can't get quite there before we spend a few minutes talking about wrapping up the India-Sri Lanka T20 series. So, Varun, pretty disappointing. A little bit upsetting, honestly, to watch the way that series wrapped up. DJ predicted 3-0 for India. You and I predicted 2-1. So let's start with what happened, right? Like, India ended up losing the series 2-1, but not for, I mean, we already went in thinking this was an India B team or C team, and it ended up becoming basically whoever was available. Do you want to talk our listeners through that really quick?
Yeah, sure. So it was really interesting because we got news that Krunal Pandya has tested positive for COVID, right? And that was disappointing. And it's tough, right? It's tough for teams. It's tough for the individuals. And so as part of this, I think 8 people had tested, eight people were close to Krunal Pandya just before he got tested. Of course, you know, there's the Mumbai Indians clique. So Hardik, Ishan, Surya Kumar Yadav, they were all part of it. But Prithvi Shaw, Krishnappa Gautam, Deepak Chahar, and Manish Pandey were all in close contact. And so what that meant is that they all had to isolate. I'm guessing the way this works is that, you know, you isolate people who were in the immediate contact. But I find it hard to believe that as a team who trains together every day, you didn't have to isolate others. Anyway, all went along well. These 8 had to isolate. Remember, Shaw and Sky are actually going to fly out to UK. And so they delayed it to play these last 2 games, but they weren't available. Rahul Dravid then came out before the toss. And I think people were asking him who's going to play. And he said, we have 11 people. And all 11 are going to play. So unique situation for India. I think it's the first time India has actually gone in with only 4 pure batsmen. So let's just talk everyone through what the team was. Ruturaj Gaikwad and Dhawan opening. Padikkal at 3. Samson at 4. And that's where the batting stops, right? Remember, apart from Dhawan, nobody's really a shoo-in into the playing 11 of India. So, tough situation for India. But I was personally very optimistic because Gaikwad and Padikkal have done so well at the IPL. After Samson, you had Nitish Rana. And that's when the tail starts. You've got Bhuvi, who is actually batting at number 6 for India, which is something that Hardik Pandya bats at. And remember, you got Jaddu to follow. Then we had Saini, Kuldeep Yadav, Rahul Chahar, Chetan Sakaria, and Chakravarti. So, it's almost like, you know, 1, 2, I'm just counting as we speak. I think we had like 5 number 11s batting in this game. So always going to be tough for India. I think they took a very positive approach by saying, let's play. India made 132 for 5 in 20 overs. Again, keep in mind, it was a unique innings because all 20 overs, India batted and they lost only 5 wickets, and that was done on purpose because not to expose the tail. Nobody really got going. Everyone was around the 100 strike rate mark. And I would say overall disappointing innings in any T20 game anywhere in the world, 130 is never going to be enough. So Sri Lanka came out and chased that pretty comfortably. I mean, they did win in the 20th over to give the Indian bowlers credit. But yeah, it was pretty much Sri Lanka's game from the start.
Yeah, really good summary. I mean, so a couple of quick things I want to ask before we talk about the third ODI. Bhuvneshwar Kumar batting at six. Was it six? Five?
Yeah, six.
Yeah, at six. Like, unbelievable, right? At this point, would it almost have been better, you think, if Dhawan and Dravid huddled together and said, look, the match has been delayed one day. There's turmoil in the camp. COVID-19 has affected everybody for the last 18 months, et cetera. And unfortunately, we're not quite out of it the way we had hoped. But do you think it would have been smarter to just, like, to call it off? I know you said it was a positive move by the Indian.
No, camp, I think it would have. I mean, what I was personally hoping for is that Dravid just comes out at number three. That would have been iconic. And
we were all hoping, like, you know, that the Cred ad or, you know, that they're a sponsor of the show or anything. But if anybody from Cred is listening, please do come sponsor. But like VVS, call the boys and come. Like, would have been so great to see Dravid come back out. But of course, just wishful thinking.
Yeah. So it was good. I think, you know, in a way, when you think about it, this was India's only way to get Gaikwad, Padikkal, Rana a T20 game. Because the way it would have worked if you didn't, if things didn't unfold the way they did, is that you would have gone for the win in the second ODI, played your best 11. People like Shaw and Sky are going to get, they're close to making it to the playing 11 of the Indian team. And so they would have got a run all the way. And so people like Padikkal, Gaikwad would have never got an opportunity. So I take the positive in this that they got some game time. They probably realized, hey, international cricket is different to just playing in IPL. Of course, there's a lot of debate around the pitches. They were slow. It was so difficult to bat on. While watching it itself, you could feel like the ball was just not coming onto the bat. But to answer your question, I think India did the right thing by going ahead.
So at the wrap of the second T20, the team would have been thinking, hey, we ended up losing this match, but we lost it only by 4 wickets and with only 2 balls to spare, right? Sri Lanka took 19.4 overs to chase it down. Not great to lose, but not a significant margin or anything like that. And so we walked in the next day, no gap or anything, just given scheduling and the delay of that second T20. And if I'm looking at this right, we played almost the entire same team except for one swap, right? Sandeep Warrior came in for, I guess,
Navdeep Saini, I think.
Navdeep Saini, thank you. And so Gaikwad, Dhawan, Padikkal, Samson, Rana was the only 5 batsmen again, called it 4 batsmen and 1 all-rounder. This time the story went a little bit differently, right? Varun, obviously great bowling by Sri Lanka and one player in particular who you've mentioned, but 81 for 8 in 20 overs? I mean, I don't know. You talked about the strategy to defend the tail from coming in and so bat out the full 20 overs. We did again this time, but I mean, 81 runs. I can't remember the last time I saw a team make 81 without getting all out in a 2020. So walk us through that.
Yeah, so I think they were a little bit confused in their approach, right? Because they had the experience of the previous game. They knew it's going to be tough for the tail. They also knew it's not easy for even a Rana and Samson with the old ball and facing the Sri Lankan spinners. So I think what happened this time is they just got very confused as to what's the right approach. Because, you know, if you think of the team messages, one, go hard at the start so that we have runs on the board. Two, bat around Dhawan. And three, then make sure you keep wickets in hand towards the end. Now, all three kind of didn't happen, right? Dhawan got out 0 of 1 ball. And the minute that happens, he's your most experienced player in the team. In fact, I'm probably sure he's played more T20s than the entire rest of the other 10 combined.
Yeah, I haven't looked up the stats, but that feels pretty right.
Yeah, so Dhawan went early. Gaikwad and Padikkal were struggling. And the guy who's really disappointed me and disappointed himself, I'm sure, more than anyone, is Sanju Samson, right? Just not able to take advantage of this golden opportunity for him. Look, in the India T20 squad, he is going to be fighting with people like Pant and Sky and Kishan for a slot, right? And he's a class batsman. He hits it very cleanly, but can't help but think every time he gets a shot for India, he comes up falling short. And, you know, he's not 21 anymore. He's 26, 27. He has a future ahead of him, but if you don't take advantage of these opportunities, I mean, just think of how brilliant this would have been if in the second ODI he scored a 50, in the third ODI he scored a 75. You're going to have to really think hard how to keep him out of the squad. And I mean, look, we've deviated a little bit, but sure, Sanju Samson is the captain of the Rajasthan Royals. Sure, he is going to play in Sharjah. Very honestly, the first game of the second phase of the IPL, he'll probably hit 100 because that's what he does. But overall, it's not getting him anywhere. I don't see any growth. I don't see any evolution. This match was particularly disappointing, and I messaged you guys about this. Bhuvneshwar Kumar came into bat at 4.5 overs, right? I mean, he doesn't even come in usually with 4.5 overs to go in a T20 game. So overall, very disappointing. The minute your top order was kind of unraveled for, 25 for 4, 36 for 5? At 36 for 5, I think the tail did a pretty good job to get them for 81.
Yeah, it's actually, when you put it that way, it's actually not bad given that you have, five number 11s, like you said. So really disappointing, let's be honest. But let's call out the one bowling performance that got us there, right? There was one man who got Gaikwad early on, then Samson, and then Bhuvi, and then picked up Varun Chakravarti at the end. So Varun, pretty safe to say I'm setting you up to give our first SEAT award of the week.
Yeah, SEAT Secure Drive Award this week definitely goes to Hasaranga. I personally was so impressed with him. He's got that resilience. He's got the skill. And I'm not going to be surprised if a team picks him up in the IPL next year, because he really showed that he's got different kind of aspects to his bowling. I really like the way he handled himself. And very honestly, the Indian batsman had no idea how to play him. So yeah, he's our SEAT Secure Drive player of this week.
Awesome. And so let's quickly come down to any kind of bright spots we could absolutely find. Sri Lanka chased us down in 14.3 overs. Honestly, nobody batted great. But when you only have 82 runs to chase, nobody needs to bat great, right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's right.
But going into this series, you said you were pretty excited from a leg spin standpoint about our man Rahul Chahar. Yeah, you want to talk about him? He picked up 3 for 15 in this game?
Yeah, absolutely. And you teed me up again because he's our SEAT puncture-resistant player of the week. I think coming in and out of a T20 squad is not easy. Being probably told in the dressing room that Yuzvendra Chahal is the number one option is not easy to deal with. So to as we talked about all the batsmen and said they didn't pick up the opportunity when it was handed to them, Rahul Chahar, on the other hand, picked up the opportunity. And he's done so many times. Like I said last week, he is my favorite leg spinner in India right now. I believe he should deserve a chance to play. And in that third T20, he picked up 3 wickets at an economy rate of under 4, 3.8 to be precise. So fantastic performance, our SEAT puncture-resistant player of the week.
And just like that, we wrap up the India-Sri Lanka series. We have less than a week in between series, obviously different squads except for a couple of players, etc. We are going to take a quick break right now. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about the India side of the India-England series. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Have you ever wondered where the business world is headed? How the ways in which we create, market, and sell to consumers will evolve? Or if we'll ever go back to wearing pants while working? For answers to all of this and more, tune into Advertising is Dead with me, Varun Dugirala. Every Tuesday, as I talk to entrepreneurs, leaders, and change makers from across business, media, marketing, and beyond. You can catch all episodes of Advertising is Dead on the IBM Podcast website, app, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Welcome back to the Edges and Sledges Cricket Podcast. Varun, at the time of recording this, 3 days out from the first test match against England, it's almost amazing how, of course, you and I watch a lot of sports, so we're used to this, but it's almost amazing how the mind quickly pivots from ODI and T20 in Asian conditions to the shortest lead time ever to going to play 5 test matches now against England. But are you excited about the series? How are you feeling about it going into it?
Yeah, it's been so weird. It's like the whole summer we've been waiting for this series, and it was great that the BCCI tossed us a little bonus in the middle to watch India versus Sri Lanka. But this is the main series. Your main players are there. Your opposition is one of the best in the world. So I'm really looking forward to this series. Also, it's a format series. And remember, guys, from literally 4th August all the way till mid-November, I think there is non-stop cricket now. So it's a great time to be a cricket fan.
I'm just double-checking which of us said it. It is a 5-test series, actually.
Oh, sorry. So it's a 5-test series. That's
5
right.
5 full test matches, which is going to be really exciting. But yeah, like you said, lots of cricket. I think as soon as this ends, we go straight into IPL. As soon as IPL, we go straight into T20. So a lot to be said for players and the kind of toll it takes on them, both mentally, physically, etc. However, while we get into it, we're going to enjoy the test cricket. So, five tests coming up. The first of which actually takes place at Trent Bridge in Nottingham and starts, like I said, Wednesday, August 4th. So, we're doing this a little bit differently. You and I are going to talk just about the India side, and then we'll take another quick break, and we'll come back with DJ talking with a special guest about the England side. But, you know, our favorite thing to do on this podcast now by this point is to try to predict a playing 11 and eventually predict the series line, scoreline, etc. Let's start with the India playing 11, right? A couple of interesting things. Shaw and Suryakumar Yadav were late additions to the squad. They got flown in under the special provision that the English government has created for sports people, because otherwise they wouldn't have been able to fly in straight from Sri Lanka without a quarantine, etc., etc. But there's no Shubman Gill. So let's just go kind of top five, numbers six and seven, and then the bowlers, and walk through who you expect will be playing. Varun, do you want to start with your prediction for India's top five?
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, let's do it together, I would say, Ashwin. Like, yeah. Rohit Sharma, definitely
no
playing.
No question, yeah.
Right? So, you're left with the opening slot, which I know both of us are going to say Mayank deserves it, but let's hold on the second opening slot. After that, you've got Pujara, you've got Rahane and Kohli. So, almost no discussion there. Now, the interesting
Can I ask you if there... So, I agree. For me, no discussion on Rohit, Kohli, Pujara, Rahane. You have been a little critical about Ajinkya Rahane recently.
Yeah.
Do you see the team management and the setup looking at him the same way? Or do you think he's going to get a shot at five, assuming fitness and all that?
No, I mean, look, the thing about it is, yes, I have been critical about him because of the inconsistency. But Ajinkya Rahane will start. Now, I was reading somewhere, and I may be completely wrong, but that there was a worry about his injury. I haven't read more. It hasn't come out more in the news and media. So we have to assume everything is okay. And because of that, I'm going to say Rahane will start at five. Kohli likes that middle order. Kohli likes the, you know, Rahane and himself get time in the middle together. So I don't think that much is going to change. Now, the guys who can give Rahane a run for his money is really Vihari and Suryakumar Yadav. Vihari should get an opportunity before Sky. But yeah, we got no idea, man. Sometimes there's that golden patch that people talk about, a purple patch, and Sky is in that right now. So he's been called there for a reason. There's no way he's going to play the first test, in my opinion. But I think that's what... I think, like I said, with Mayank at number two, I think that's going to be the top five.
So Rohit, Mayank, Pujara, Kohli, Rahane. I'm in agreement. No question there. I expect some changes for the rest of the five tests, but I don't believe any change for the Nottingham lineup. Let me go first this time. Six, I believe it'll be Rishabh Pant. I think we've been pretty clear that he's our first choice keeper, and I think he's shown that he can bat at six. This is where it starts to get interesting for me, actually, because if you want to play Ravindra Jadeja at seven, yeah, actually, I'm going to go with that. Well, let me ask you your thoughts before. So six with Pant, Jadeja at seven. Any thoughts or disagreements?
No. I think correct on both counts. Remember, Jadeja had a fantastic practice game. And I think his batting... I mean, we should not discuss Jadeja and whether he should be in the squad. That's unacceptable for us to even debate that. So that's done. The only point I want to mention is just remember KL Rahul is also in the mix. So
yeah, so talk to me about that, because you didn't mention him with Rahane. At the same time, he made a century in the warm-up game. He's just like, where does Rahul slot in instead of Mayank?
So the only reason I didn't mention him is because Crick Buzz in their squad has put him under wicketkeeper, and I had to scroll down to check him out. So
okay, that's so the reason. He wasn't top of mind. Yeah.
No, he wasn't top of mind, which is unfortunate for him. But yeah, India has made it very clear that he's a middle order backup, and that's the reason they called for Shaw. So he did hit 100 in the county practice game. So I don't know, man. I don't know. I just feel like India is going into this zone where they don't know how to manage KL Rahul either. So he doesn't feature in the first test playing 11 for me.
Right. So we got our 1 through 7, and I think we're pretty much in agreement there, right? So we went through our top five at 6 and 7. Now there's 4 bowling slots. Varun, let's start with second spinner or no. Is Jadeja our sole spinner going to England, or does Ashwin play?
No, I think Ashwin is going to play. I just can't help but think that we made a mistake in the World Test Championship because we got obsessed with the idea of two spinners. I don't know enough about what the Nottingham pitch looks like, but I'm going to really hope and pray that India chooses the side on the merit of the pitch and the conditions. Don't worry about what the other team is doing. Choose your side based on the merit on the pitch and conditions, because Ashwin and Jadeja are top quality bowlers and batsmen, let me add. So they should get picked in a test side, but you don't want a situation where they're not bowling. Your three pacers are overworked, and it just doesn't make sense. So while we've said Jadeja, I think India is going to choose that two spinner, three pacer approach that we are used to, we're comfortable with. It's the first test. We need to get, you know, settled back into test cricket. But I want to caution and say, I think don't choose two spinners if it's not right.
Yeah, I fundamentally agree with you, but I also think the World Test Championship will be weighing on both Kohli and Shastri's mind. This is exactly what happened. We said, let's go two spinners, three quicks. It's what we know. It's our model. South Africa should spin, yada, yada, all of those things. And then the Pacers bowled most of the overs because there was absolutely nothing happening for spin. So this is where, again, not having a quick bowler who can bat like a Bhuvi or somebody or Chahar like weakens you a little. So again, I'm in agreement with you from a prediction standpoint. I think we'll play Jadeja 7, Ashwin 8. But I think it's a really tough choice because I don't think Ashwin is a good enough batsman to bat at 7.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the biggest risk. And so again, always in an overseas test, you're going to have to question and ask yourself, do I want to strengthen my batting or the bowling? And where Jadeja is better than saying, I'll play a Vihari, is that he gives you both options. Now, it's a tough call, but that's the reality of what Jadeja brings to the table. So remember that India also has a very bad history of losing the first test in a lot of test match series. So it's going to be interesting. I don't know what Kohli and Shastri are going to do, but I think this is what they're going to start up with.
Right. And so then let's quickly talk the three pacers that'll round up 9, 10, 11. Bumrah, Shami, Ishant. I think I'm going with the tried and tested, the same three that played the World Test Championship, etc. Varun, do you see Siraj, Yadav, or Shardul making it in this?
Yeah, so I have a little bit of a different view here. I have a feeling that the demarcation among our six pacers is very clear. We've got three top senior guys, and we've got the next three. I think India is going to be smart with, especially with injuries and the COVID bubbles and quarantines. I don't think India is going to play their top three bowlers in any game. Now, I might be wrong. Maybe they come out in the first test, but throughout the balance four, you're going to see that Siraj is definitely going to play and Shardul as well. So I think India is going to use that situation where there'll be not many games where Bumrah, Ishant and Shami, all three play together.
So that's interesting. And actually now that you, as you're saying it, it makes sense, right? Five tests is a long time. So who do you expect will start this first match?
I mean, I personally think it's going to be Bumrah, Shami and Siraj.
Okay.
In the first match, and then everyone will start rotating. Remember, Bumrah's form is also it's quite poor, if I can say that, right? I think Bumrah's form is quite poor. So they probably will start with him. He can do damage in any format of the game. But remember that Ishant is probably going to replace him in the second or third test. And basically, I think my point is simple. They're going to have a rotation policy.
All right. So we've gone through our 11. I think you and I differ only on one, which would be the third quick bowler. So we'll find out soon enough. Really quickly, I don't get to ask DJ this right now, but five match series, your predictions going into this one before we wrap up this segment.
Oh, this is tough, man. I'm kind of waiting and thinking, should we just do it next week with DJ? But
by then we'll have one already, right?
I'm going to say 2-2. I'll say 2-2.
Ooh. That's a big prediction, man. So first, I think this is the first series of the new wave of the World Test Championship. So 2-2 is the prediction. It was a little bit safe, a little bit cheap that you went with that. I can't think there have been a lot of draws in England. So I'm going to say England is going to take the series 3-2. And I hate that. I hate myself for saying that. But I think England's going to take the series 3-2.
Okay. We'll have to ask DJ separately.
Yeah, we'll get DJs. We'll document it separately. With that, we're going to take a quick Seat Tyre strategic timeout and come back after this break with DJ and a special guest talking about the England side of the series. So don't go anywhere.
Welcome back from that Seat strategic timeout. This is DJ and I've got with me Ross Legg of the Cricket Podcast. This is actually the first time we're doing this. We are at a cricket game Ross and I are playing. That one's just been hit for six over the trees. And we're here to talk with Ross about the England versus India test series, and we're going to try and get the England perspective on things. Ross, well batted today, by the way. Nice 50 from you.
Oh, it was, you were almost close to chasing me there. We had, what, 47? And then we both succumbed to the same slower ball from the same bowler.
Yeah, it was the greatest ball ever. Off cutter, pitched off, hit leg. But Ross got 50, so well played. But Ross, let's chat a little bit about this England versus India test series. So all the discussion was around pitches in the early part of the year when England were out there in India. What are the pitches going to look like this time around?
They'll probably be a little bit greener than the ones we saw. They'll be they'll represent more cricket pitches than, I'm not really sure what, dust bowls than the other one was prepared in Ahmedabad.
Sporting spinning tracks.
I do think, though, with India's bowling lineup, actually, like, yes, there is a slight advantage to England with Anderson and Broad, and Ollie Robinson kind of showed his skill as well. But I think people like Shami, people like Ishan, will really, they'll trouble the batsmen. And people like Dom Sibley and Burns, when, in fact, England's top three major questions are still remaining over them. So we'll see. It's going to be a pretty challenging tour for India, but I think they'll be okay.
Yeah, but the big news is Ben Stokes has decided to take an indefinite leave from cricket for mental health reasons. Of course, he's been a massive player for England in the past. He played a huge part in the last series these teams played in England. How big a blow is that going to be for the England cricket team?
It's huge. It's absolutely huge. I think England were already up against it, against this Indian side. I mean, you saw, like, they might have succumbed in the World Test Championship final, but this India team is a serious test team that travels well, I think. When it comes to Ben Stokes, like, it throws the balance completely off for England. Like, it's been a mega advantage for England over the years to have someone like Freddie Flintoff who could kind of bat and bowl, Ben Stokes, and it gives you that difference, and it's something that India don't have, right? They've got Ashwin, they've got Jadeja, but they don't have that batting and bowling, like, seamer. For England, like, he's been, what, a supreme player for the last, what, 2 or 3 years? And I mean, he's got already gone down the annals of history because of that head Hindi knock. But I just think that it's going to put everything out of kilter. I mean, Chris Silverwood, I think, is... he's not really been fond of picking a spinner, and yet I think the impact on this is that Dom Bess and Jack Leach probably won't get a look in the first two games, maybe three games. I think if you play at Old Trafford, they might have to play a spinner. But it's really, really difficult for England now to find that balance. The seniority in the batsmen just isn't really there. Like, if you look at that middle order of Ollie Pope and Dan Lawrence, well, Butler's kind of there, but I mean, it's a little bit worrying.
So what I think I'm hearing is that they're going to miss his batting more than his bowling, almost.
I think so. Yeah, I think he's the like you say, a club cricket. He's the senior pro, right? In that team, like, he's Mr. Reliable. He's averaged over 45 in the last 2 years. And I think when he's on it, he's seriously on it, and people are scared to kind of play against him. Ashwin's probably a little bit gutted because he's a bit of a bunny for old Ravi Ashwin, but I think. Yeah, I think England are probably going to struggle without him.
Yeah, and we wish him well, of course. We hope he's back in England colours soon. He's a great cricketer, and everyone enjoys watching him. He's made a great comeback after that night out in, I think it was Leeds?
Bristol.
So let's talk a little bit about that batting lineup. So you mentioned it briefly. Questions around the top three still?
Yeah, I don't rate Zach Crawley at the moment. And it's really, really difficult. Like, in England, have always got this, like, sunk cost fallacy kind of in there. They've been picking Zach Crawley for, I think, 13 test matches. And yes, hitting 267 against Pakistan was a fantastic innings. But there's a bit of consistency around when it comes to test cricket. And averaging, what, 9 or 12 or whatever he averages if you take that score away is really worrisome. When you've got Joe Root, who's he's not scared to bat at three, but prefers to bat at four, makes no difference when you're 10 for two every single time, right? Roy Burns managed to hit a century last time, got him out pretty much, and hopefully gets a bit of a run in the side. He's proven that he can kind of hit runs in those difficult circumstances. But again, do we have the ability in that top order? I'm just not convinced. Could see Haseeb Hameed come back in, right? Who played pretty well against India last time out.
So is it Hameed, Rory Burns and Zach Crawley the top three? Is Dom Sibley getting in there?
I think Dom Sibley is I think England's setup when it comes to the top order is try and see off, like, under Chris Silverwood definitely, has been try and play as many overs as possible, like you should do with your top three. Dom Sibley is one of those people who can be like KL Rahul, can be the ball eater. But in this cricket, it's okay. In T20 cricket, you wouldn't have Dom Sibley. So I think it's going to be Sibley and Burns opening up. If I was a betting man, it's probably going to be Zach Crawley at that three. But don't be surprised if you see Johnny Bairstow in that position as well. Like, the England at the moment, their selection's been pretty embarrassing over the last, 2 years? And even with the COVID rotation policy, it's been a disaster for the test team.
So, I mean, I think the one fixture is likely to be Joe Root at four, followed by Ollie Pope at five, Joss Butler at six. Who bats seven in this team? Is it Dan Lawrence, or are you going into the bowlers by that stage, or the all-rounders with Sam Curran, who scored so many runs against India last time around?
Yeah, and this comes back to the Ben Stokes gap, right? So do you have to fit someone in there? Is Joss Butler actually better at batting at seven in that team? Don't know. Again, he's over the last couple of years, he's proven that he can be a test match batsman. I think Ollie Pope has got serious questions. Like, he's supposed to be like the prodigal son kind of thing.
Of Ian Bell.
And it's great. If you play at the Oval every week and you're coming up in county cricket and you're just like, oh, I've hit another 100. It's great, but you're batting in the best place to possibly bat against a county championship lineup from, I don't know, Derbyshire, and you're just like, okay, well done, mate. It's a little bit different to coming up against Ashwin, Jadeja, Shami, Ishan and Bumrah. I think when it comes to that number seven slot, England will probably have to go with some all-rounding bowler. I think Chris Wokes will have to play, but someone like Sam Curran probably takes that position now. Ollie Robinson could prove that he could bat.
Yeah.
But I think that's the bit. It's going to be really flexible. We're going to have an interesting seven, eight and nine. So, we'll see what happens, I think.
I think we will see what happens. Anderson and Broad, obviously, will play together for a change, which is I think, going to be quite nice for them. But the spinner, Ross, who's the number one England test spinner? Jack Leach still, or are you looking at a Dom Best or someone else?
I hope that Dom Best doesn't play. I think he proved in India that he's a decent enough spinner. I don't think he is a test match off spinner. Jack Leach is bowled very well, I think, and he always gets harshly treated by England as well. And like the left arm option is a good one, right? And I think he's proven that he can get the Indian batsman out, which is a big mental thing. Rather than if I'm Kohli, if I'm Pujara, if I'm whoever these guys, like Rahane, like, I'm not worried if Dom Bess is bowling to me. I know he's going to bowl me a boundary ball, maybe two boundary balls and over, and you can put the pressure onto kind of a young spinner. Jack Leach has kind of been around the block a little bit now. He's gone through some pretty torrid times of kind of when he had sepsis down in when he was in New Zealand, almost died.
The 30-over Rishabh Pant, a 30-run Rishabh Pant over as well. Never forget.
And that's great, right? And that's why I absolutely love like Rishabh Pant. Like, he's just brilliant, right? And I think people love or hate Rishabh Pant. It's quite a strange kind of relationship. But I'm hoping that he kind of comes again in England and, you know, continues to prove himself as the elite player that he's turning into.
Well, it promises to be a cracking series. So, Ross, I'm going to ask you for your prediction. And how is England going to win the series? Because I'd imagine you're predicting an England win.
I don't think we are going to win the England.
Do you not think so?
No, I think it'll be 3-1 to India.
Strong words, guys, on the record.
Yeah, I think the weather is definitely going to play. I mean, we are sitting here in the first of August, and it's been drizzling all day. And let's hope things improve for Wednesday.
There you have it, guys. That's the England perspective on the upcoming five-match test series. Guys, that is the show for this week. It was a real pleasure speaking to Ross. It was a real pleasure batting with Ross as well. We got 79 runs in partnership. It was really good to play some cricket this weekend. And you should definitely check out their podcast. He runs it with a few others. It's called The Cricket Podcast. It's on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. And and then Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. I think they're called The Cricket Pod on Instagram and The Cricket Podcast otherwise. So yeah, go and check them out. We'll put a link in the show notes to their show. Really cool bunch of guys. We'll be doing lots with them during the England versus India series. Now, I know some of you are waiting with bated breath for the result of the hashtag Bat with SEAT competition for the month of July. And we have done the draw, but first I'm going to give you the answer to the question. It was quite a tricky question, but we got a lot of answers to it. So congratulations for everyone who got the answer right. The question was, which was the Indian cricketer whose bat was checked and they were sent for a dope test after they hit a 91-meter six at the Sydney Cricket Ground? The answer is one of our SEAT ambassadors, Harmanpreet Kaur. She hit a 91-meter six. She passed the dope test. It was all fine. The bat was all good. And congratulations to Shreyas Trivedi for winning an autographed SEAT cricket bat. So Shreyas, send in your details to us and we will get that back to you as soon as possible. But I mean, you know, guys, you don't need to be disappointed because there's always August. There's another question for the hashtag Bat with SEAT. So enter again, keep entering, and hopefully luck will go your way. The question for the month of August. We're into the England versus India series, right? So, yeah, the question is going to be focused around one of the players that is active in that series. And the question is pretty simple. Who holds the Indian record? And it's a joint record held by two people. I'll tell you one of the people. Who holds the joint record for hitting the maximum number of sixes in a single test innings, right? The cricketer that I'm looking for is an Indian cricketer. So I'm looking for the Indian record, not the world record. The world record is held by Waseem Akram. And the record is jointly held with Navjot Singh Sidhu. Tell me the other player that holds this record of hitting the maximum number of sixes. I'll tell you the number as well. It was eight in a single test innings for India, right? So write in with that answer on Twitter with the hashtag BatWithSEAT. As I said, I don't want the world record. I want the Indian record for the maximum number of sixes in a test innings, not a test match, right? Write in with that. We're on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at One Tip One Hand. Leave us a review and we will see you once this test match series has gotten underway. This is the Edges and Sledges Cricket Podcast brought to you by SEAT Tyres. We'll see you next week.
Hello, 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 everybody. It's been another great week on the IVM Podcast Network. On What the Hell Navya, Jaya Bachchan, Shweta Nandan, and Navya herself dish out stories from their childhood. They discuss tough love between parents and their kids. On Paisa Vaisa, Anupam talks to Baman Irani, President-elect Credai, and Chairman and MD at Rustamji. They discuss the concept of buy versus rent and how to approach buying property in 2022. On Cock and Bull, Cyrus is joined by Meghnad and comedian Shahid Shafi. They discuss their opinions on the ongoing Congress presidential elections and Prashant Kishore embarking on a padyatra. On The Life Manifesto, Zarina narrates a story that advocates that stress and emotions are not to be controlled but must be beautifully managed. And on the Filter Coffee podcast, Karthik is joined by Yashraj Akashi, Senior Ambassador of the TEDx program and Curator of TEDx Gateway. They discuss the origin story of TED and his franchise model. Guys, go to our website, ivmpodcast.com. You can check out the merch store. Also links to all of our social media stuff, which is at IVM Podcast. Also do check out our YouTube channels. We have a number of channels with many of your favorite shows available as full video podcasts. Finally, we'd like to thank our sponsors this week, Volvo XC40 Recharge, Bumble, Heads Up for Tails, and HDFC Mutual Fund. Thank you so much for making this possible.
Do you often find yourself surrounded by conversations about Web3, blockchain, NFTs, DAOs? What are these terms and how do they affect our future on the internet? So many questions, but don't worry, we've got answers to all your questions. Hi, I'm Eklavya Bhattacharya, and on our show, Future Proofing, we try to decode the impact of these future technologies on various industries with experts and tech enthusiasts. Tune into new episodes coming out every Thursday on the IVM Podcast app and the website, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Working Monday to Friday glued to your chair making you feel dull? Worry not. Get your 5-minute weekly dose of travel around the world with Postcards from Nowhere. Join me every Thursday as I explore the strange, obscure, and fascinating parts of the world and bring out facets of travel you may not have thought of before. You can find us on the IVM Podcast app, website, or wherever you get your podcast from.